Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We are once again live down here in the Bear Cave Studios for another episode of the Sports Frenzy Podcast, Sold Out. With me, your host, Freddy Loso, with my co-host, the devil himself.
A couple of birthdays I want to mention and one death in today's wrestling history. We have Mr. Saito, Dennis Condrey of the Midnight Express. Ronda Rousey's birthday is today. So I know Anthony's probably sending a card or a gift or something like that. And lastly, in 2010, we lost Jack Briscoe, former NWA heavyweight champion. So just a couple notable, little bit of notable activity on today's date.
All right. Now, our other co-host, the Reverend himself, Jason Todd.
Yeah, about 31 years ago tonight, the Lex Express finally made its way to WWF. Then, I guess we can call it WWF in the past. And he made his premiere on Monday Night Raw. And he beat, some jabroni named Jason something or other. But not me, so that's all that matters.
All right. Last but not least, Blackbeard himself, the encyclopedia.
Gentlemen, look in my eyes, what do you see? A man that's injured easily. Thank you to whoever posted that on Twitter. I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
I know, because I shared it. They're having a field day.
Internet is having a field day. A field day with them.
So, CM Punk down 4 to 6 months. Officially out for Mania. Seth hopefully makes it back. Do we start there, or do you guys want to go into the Rumble first? Where?
Why don't we talk about the Rumble first?
Yeah, let's. All right. So I'll start it off. I enjoyed it. I almost enjoyed the women's match more than the men's. The surprises, the spots were better. The R-Truth running out at 24 and screwing Valhalla was hilarious. I was like, that was perfect. Like, it couldn't have done it any better. Jade Cargill, great. First showing. They did a really good job at making her look strong. So I did enjoy that. I thought there wasn't any spots where they made people look like shit that were top females in the company. So in that aspect, I enjoyed it. The men's rumble was good. Fatal four way. We knew what it was going to be. KO and Logan Paul. I enjoyed it. Overall a good show. Nothing I would be going back to watch again, but I did enjoy it. Go ahead, Rob.
I have to say, I thought the Women's Royal Rumble was one of the better Royal Rumbles in the last maybe 10 to 15 years. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't necessarily the action in the ring. It was all the different stories that were being told. First of all, Bayley is the Shawn Michaels of the Royal Rumble. If you remember, I think it was 96. When Shawn Michaels went from beginning to end, and the encyclopedia can correct me if I have the wrong year, because I might.
You do, when we confirmed we did watch Long 4 twice.
Yeah, I knew I was going to do that. It was 95. That's why I said you're going to correct me. But every new person that came in the ring, Bayley took the first hit. She was right. She was in the center of all the action. I mean, she didn't start at the very beginning to the end, but to me, she was like the MVP of the match. She like set the tone. and took all the, you know, all the, took a lot of punishment. Like for a while there, I was going like, come on, you know, they're beating Bayley up a little bit too much here. But then when she won, I was like, all right, you know, I get it now. Yeah. Like she earned it. So, you know, if you couldn't love Bayley more, like if I didn't need another reason to love her more, it's now because of this. Chelsea Green and Piper are really coming into their own as far as character goes. Like when Chelsea fell and Piper caught her and put her on the steps and like blew a kiss at her, I was like, hey, Piper's actually got a little bit of personality here. Like Chelsea's rubbing off on her a little bit. And I kind of like it. Like I still don't love their ring work, but at least the characters are a little interesting. You know what I mean? Like there was things to watch other than what was going on in the ring. Like Freddie said, Jade Cargill, nice debut. They didn't have her do too much. You know, they didn't have her like run the table and beat everybody up, but you could see some progress there. Jordana Grace did not look out of place in, and I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but she looked like she fit in, like she could be a WWE superstar at some point. I think they gave her a decent showing without making her look, you know, like second place. She looked like she fit in. Tiffany Stratton, again, another person that came out and like made you stand up and take notice. I loved at the end when Becky was sitting on the floor and the camera zoomed in on her and you can tell like there was all that disappointment on her face. Like there's something going on there. Like they set the stage for more. And as much as I can't stand Nia Jax, I mean, she's doing really well. Like she's playing her role well. And it looks like she's cleaned up her ring work a little bit where you're not really worried about people getting hurt anymore. Like I saw this week on Raw when she was dropping the legs on Rhea, she didn't like, they were clean. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't at one point going, oh God, there goes her nose, or, you know, here goes another injury. So I was impressed. The women's Royal Rumble was a lot of fun. Now, conversely, I thought the men's Royal Rumble was boring. I didn't think they had anything going on. I think we all knew who the final four were going to be. We knew Cody was going to be there. We knew Punk was going to be there. The other two were kind of the wild cards. I didn't find anything fascinating about it. To me, it came and went. And the fact that Punk got hurt, I don't want to say we were predicting it, but you almost were like the last two times he wrestled in AEW, he got hurt. And you started to wonder how long was it going to be until he got hurt. And here we are. He's hurt again. So I'm wondering if somewhere in the back of their minds, the WWE is wondering, you know, are they getting screwed on this contract, whatever they paid him? Because I wonder how long he'll be able to last. His body seems to be betraying him. But like I said, just to sum up, Women's Royal Rumble, I thought was one of the better matches I've seen in a while. Men's match, take or leave. Logan Paul, whatever. You know how I feel about him. And Roman, I can't wait for them to get the belt off of him because his matches are always the same. They follow a formula. They don't leave it. There's never any variation. And I'm over it. I kind of halfway through the match, I was kind of like, all right, let's get to where they interfere and where he wins, you know, so we can get on to the next thing. So, well, you know, it wasn't the worst Royal Rumble I've ever seen, but certainly wasn't the best. And the women's match to me saved it. So, Encyclopedia, what do you got?
I thought the women's match was good. It was really good. There was a lot of innovative stuff there. I'm going to be honest, I couldn't get over the fact that Maxine tried to do that, her and Karana with Bayley, and it just looked terrible. And I think she tried shit again on Raw, and she can't do it. She's not ready to be in the ring. But the rest of it I thought was great. Channeling when Bayley came out at number three, I think I texted you guys with, damn it, like Bobby Heenan did when Ric Flair came in all those years ago. I actually said it out loud, and I had a bunch of people over for my wife's birthday, and they all looked at me like, what? What are you getting so animated about? We didn't mention the Kairi Sane spot where she kind of did the spider on the ring apron.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, how the fuck is she doing that? And then there was the sequence with Tiffany Stratton holding onto Bianca's hair to keep herself from being eliminated. So there are little touches like that that did at least make that one entertaining. The men's one, I'll agree, it wasn't as good as the women's one. I thought it was still really good, especially the end. And I was rooting for Punk. I fully admit that. And when he said, I didn't come back to lose to Dusty's kid, as soon as he said that, I thought, oh, fuck, he's not winning. Shit, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. Which I guess actually worked out. I even wonder if there was an audible called, if it was supposed to be Punk, and when he knew he was injured at that point. I mean, I guess we'll never know that. The surprises, I mean, Carmelo Hayes, they got him listed on NXT on Wikipedia. That doesn't make any sense because he's been on SmackDown for a good month and a half yet. And Bron Breakker, I thought, looked pretty impressive. I know the rumor is he got the Brock spot. I don't know if I believe that Pat McAfee had no idea he was in the Royal Rumble.
He's not that good of an actor.
Who reported the Bron Brock thing?
That's been reported several places I read.
I'm sure there was one original source that came up with it. My guess is it was he who shall not be named on the show ever again. Fucking asshole. Now I read it in a few places. It didn't even jump out at me at first. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, and then they showed like even clips on Raw. I was like, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. I was surprised that the championship match went second. That one really threw me for a loop. Like when that match started, I had another wrestling fan sitting next to me and we looked at each other and we're like, why is this second? And I think I even texted you guys that. At that point, I think we broke into a separate text because poor Rob was hijacked at a Super Sweet 16 party at the same time.
I find your commentary interesting. I was wishing you would have kept commentating. I don't think that was keeping me going.
I was trying to keep it spoiler free for you. Damn it.
No, I kept sneaking away and checking the results. My wife's like, why are you looking at your phone? I'm like, no reason. The guys are texting, you know. I was like, what's going on? Who's in? Who's next?
Yeah.
Who's out? Yeah. Who's going?
Yeah, I would say actually the title match was just, you know, by the numbers it. Same formula you get with Roman Reigns, and that, except the difference being this time in a fatal four way, there's no disqualification. So this is one of the few times it was actually legal, you know. And
right, but I mean, like let's throw something out there. Let's have Roman use a chair, or you know, like, or you know,
yeah,
try something else. You know what I mean?
I was a little surprised.
Himself.
Yeah. You mentioned Jordynne Grace. I was shocked. I'd never actually seen her work, but I was pretty impressed with her. Jade Cargill definitely came out with a bang. Well, good for her. And I'll be honest, that Logan Paul Kevin Owens match, I loved the ending because I feel like it didn't hurt Kevin Owens in the end. It allowed him to save face because if he took a straight pinfall loss, even with brass knucks, I think that would have bothered the shit out of me more. And I just kept thinking, God, Logan Paul's going to win. What the hell are they going to do with KO? So at least a disqualification, it actually helps him, I feel like. You know what I mean? Rather than him taking a straight up clean loss. So now I guess we'll see how long until we really find out who Bayley's facing. It could be as soon as the next SmackDown. By the time you guys hear this, SmackDown might be in the books, so you might already know the answer there. I actually wondered, I was waiting for them to jump her on Raw. And there's been little touches like Asuka not high-fiving her. I think definitely during the Rumble and even on SmackDown the night before, there's little subtle nuances where they're ignoring her at random times. So I think
they're going to turn on her at one point, and
yeah,
that'll lead to the face.
Or could it simply be she decides she doesn't want to mess with Rhea because there's a possibility of facing Nia Jax because they did hint at that on Raw. So she outright chooses EO, and that causes the problem. You know. I mean, because the whole jumping her thing, it's been done. I know that's what we're expecting, but if she just outright chooses EO and that's what causes them to jump her, that would be a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Or if she holds off till Elimination Chamber and that person chooses who they want.
I think in the past it's always been the Royal Rumble gets first choice. But yeah,
first crack.
We'll see. You know, it's all new. So. Yeah, so I thought it was a really good show. Is it going to be next year's watch along? I don't know about that. We'll see. Or maybe we just make it a yearly tradition to do the 95 one and forget that we've done it multiple times. We got nothing to talk about. 95 Royal Rumble. Yeah.
When in doubt, 95 Rumble.
Yeah.
Reverend, what'd you think?
Yeah, I had some notes about this show too. Overall, I thought it was a very good show.
Keep it under an hour.
I refuse. I think I think I made a note or I tweeted something or posted something, and maybe I mentioned it to you guys the day of, that WWE was probably under pressure, the same amount of pressure to put on a really good show that night. And the only time they were under that much pressure was when they did the first WrestleMania as a, you know, as a pay-per-view type event. And that's because we all know what's been going on with the company that week. They had a very busy week and they needed something that good to distract. Yes, I am in full agreement. The Women's Royal Rumble was by far and away the better of the two. Welcome back, Naomi. This kind of flew under the radar because she was number two in the Rumble, that Naomi had actually re-signed with WWE. That's kind of a big deal considering the circumstances under which she left, which leaves a door open, possibly, if there's ever going to be a Sasha Banks return. We don't know about that, but it does open that door.
I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's a forbidden door ever again. I think everybody will come back at some point.
Well, no. Yeah, and I never knew what the forbidden door was referencing, if it was people not coming back or if it was just people from other companies coming through. I'm sure y'all picked up on that little jab that Triple H took during the press conference there.
I was watching it live and I didn't pick up on it until I saw people like, oh, he took a jab at Tony Khan. And I was like, oh, shit, how did I miss that?
I always thought, I'll be honest, I thought it was less a jab at Tony Khan and more of a jab just at that idea itself that, oh, we're not supposed to be able to do these things, but we will because we're running a business. And I do agree. It's a stupid idea for business. Just do business. But anyway, I digress. I enjoyed I digress a little. The Jordynne Grace and the Naomi thing was cool because when they reunited in the ring, you realized, okay, well, that's where she was the whole time as the former champion, and them getting into it. Bailey coming in, I didn't realize what you mentioned, Rob, that she did take the hit. Whenever somebody major came in, and most people came in, she was taking that first hit. And that is really cool. And I think that speaks to what Bailey's about.
I think it's almost an honor.
Yeah. And it makes it even more sweet. It's a victory. It makes it even that much more sweet. I thought Jade Cargill's debut was amazing, especially considering everything she went through to get to that point. I think we were all talking about her, saying, well, she must not, well, not we all, but people were having that conversation of, well, she must not be that good if she hasn't debuted on TV yet. And it turned out that, within a month after she signed with the company, she was taking care of her ailing mother. So, now she's had that chance to start ramping up her training, which is really good. And we're not going to ignore the fact that she just kind of chucked Nia Jax around like she was a sack of potatoes. It was pretty cool. R-Truth jumping in that match was only outdone by R-Truth jumping in into the men's match, throwing JD McDonagh in just to get eliminated, and then reaching out for the tag to Dom. And
Dom selling the tag was hilarious.
And Dom selling the hot tag, and Gunther selling the hot tag. Maybe the most ridiculous minutes in the Rumble since, I don't know, probably since Drew Carey was in the Rumble and then just went to eliminate himself after. I really enjoyed that. It was so ridiculous. And Damian Priest just knocking the crap out of him later and throwing him out very unceremoniously just made it even a better story that they followed up on.
Freddie's favorite wrestler has said that they should plug R-Truth into the title picture and have him win the title.
I just saw that and I rolled my eyes. I want to know, Reverend, for all your love for R-Truth, did your order come in? Did you order your t-shirt?
I have not ordered the t-shirt yet, and I'll tell you why. I don't know which one to get. And you know, I don't make that much money. I can only get one. So if I have to get, I can only get, I got to pay rent sometime. Those shirts ain't cheap.
Don't worry. I think we get our bonuses in about a month and a half.
Okay.
You, can make, you know what? Too. You could make your own shirt. Our truth did.
That's true, too. There you go. I did enjoy the U.S. title match. And like you guys, I was surprised that the WWE Universal title match went first. I was sure that meant that at least one of those other competitors was going to show up in the Rumble. And I was surprised that they didn't. Bron Breakker looked good in that. Carmelo Hayes looked good in that. Gunther looked good again this year. And I liked him and Kofi Kingston setting up their match for the following night on Raw. I mean, Cody finished. Cody won. I guess that was the story. He's going to finish the story now. Good for him. I was pulling for Punk too. I'm not mad with either way. Yeah, I thought it was a very good show. I thought Bayley mentioned something in her press conference that got overlooked, and it should be commended. There were no legends. There were none of those, oh, we got to bring back this name, bring back this name, bring back this name. Now, there could have been some reasons for not seeing some of those people, and that's for the courts to decide. But the fact is, we didn't see them, and they were two. The worst of the two Rumbles was still decent, and I'll take it. And the Women's Rumble was really good, and they didn't have any, you know, they had one guest come in and managed to keep her looking good and still make everyone else make sure they got their spotlight to shine in. So I thought well done overall.
Michelle McCool was sitting by the phone.
Oh, she was. She was waiting. She's probably in Gorilla.
She's like, I got my gear. I can be out there in 5 minutes. Yeah, Michelle, we'll call you.
They say, yeah, no, we got you. Yeah, we know.
Wait, where's the Undertaker? England? Yeah, we don't need you. Thanks.
Yeah, we're good.
He had his one-man show that weekend. She was like, yeah, go. They were like, go help him set up. Go help him set up.
Yeah. Go sell t-shirts, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a good job overall, and I enjoyed it.
So now Punk is injured. He will not be facing Seth at Mania. Seth should hopefully be back. Who gets put into that spot now? Is it Gunther? Is it... I know he's trying to push for Cody to challenge him. Which, that was a... I enjoyed the way he phrased it. You want to go fight for a title that nobody fights for? Go ahead. This is the People's Championship. Come and fight for this one. I enjoyed that little promo. Where do they go from here? Who's the challenger of Mania? Reverend?
Does he hold on? I mean, depending on how his injury is, does he still hold that title by Mania? Does he make it past Elimination Chamber? That's the question for me.
Wait. In what way? He can't fight.
He's not wrestling, I don't think, until WrestleMania.
Right.
So.
Right. But, you know, there's a way you monitor people's progress, and yeah, you can tell if they're on the right path or not. And by Elimination Chamber, we should know, hey, is he actually going to progress enough to be able to defend at WrestleMania? And they're going to have to make a decision around then. They don't want to wait till the last minute.
I disagree. I think he's wrestling at WrestleMania irregardless. If he needs surgery the next day, he'll get surgery the next day.
That's fair too.
And he's going to drop the title to somebody.
Yeah, that I agree with. If he does wrestle at WrestleMania, he's more likely to drop that title. So you got some contenders. You got Drew McIntyre. I still say, I said it last week, I still say it now, you got Sami Zayn there as a dark horse. I'm a fan. People are fans. He just made his return. And I don't think you can overlook that. I kind of like the idea of Gunther as a double champ. I just like it. I'd like to see him do it. I don't know how long he could do it for, but I'd like to see him do it.
Well, so if I had to pick somebody. If history follows, he'll have to give up the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
Which I think
what the last time, what happened the last time? I think we've had somebody unify the titles. That's the most recent incarnation.
No, last double champion world and Intercontinental was Ultimate Warrior, and he just gave it up. He had to give it up. They basically said you can't have.
Well, I think what Jason's is referring to, didn't Triple H and Kane have a match when they got rid of the Intercontinental title?
But it was announced as a unification match ahead of time.
Yeah,
right. True. So that's what I mean. The last time they tried to do something like that, I don't see them unifying a title at this point.
I was gonna say that title change has got to be bringing somebody up to the next level. None of this, you know, like for years, people were really pissed, and still are, that Undertaker's streak ended. Some people saying it should have never ended. I'm in the minority on that statement, but to Brock Lesnar, he didn't need that rub. You know what I mean?
Very true.
So I have my opinion on now that Gunther Brock probably isn't happening anyway. That was the rumor for WrestleMania. I'm just going to throw this out there. I do not want to see Jimmy versus Jey Uso. And I'm not a big fan of either guy, but that's been the rumor for months that they'd face off for WrestleMania. I'd rather see Jey Uso get the rub and beat Gunther. And I'm not a Jey Uso fan. I just feel like that would be a nice thing for him, especially with how hard they pushed him all the way to a title shot. That crowd, when he gets him on the turnbuckles and starts raising his arms up and down, that whole place is doing it like crazy.
They're into him. People are into him.
So I think that's the next level for him. Let's get him the Intercontinental title for a bit.
Well, I mean, they are kind of setting him up, right? Because he did beat, what's his name? Bronson Reed this week.
Big That's Bronson right. Reed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're kind of, you know, he needs to string some victories together. You can't keep calling him main event Jey Uso if he keeps losing.
Yeah. That's true. Also, shout out to Big Bronson Reed, who has maybe my favorite Titantron right now. They just gave him a new one, and it's just him as Godzilla terrorizing a city. Oh, love it.
So I look at WrestleMania like this. We have a couple of problems, right? Obviously, besides the injuries, we still have Damian Priest with that suitcase. Where does that fit in? Does he cash in at WrestleMania? Does he cash in before? We have Gunther, who obviously deserves a shot at the world title and doesn't really have an opponent for the Intercontinental title right now. Right? We don't really see anyone on the horizon that's ready to challenge him. Then we have Drew McIntyre. Right? Who can lay claim to the world heavyweight title. So I mean and then you have on the other side you have The Rock, right? Who sounds like he might be pushing his weight around to get a shot at Roman at WrestleMania. So do you switch Cody over and have him fight Rollins? So, I mean, they really, there's a really big problem here. It's like you got a bunch of guys, like, you think about WrestleMania, but then you also have to think after WrestleMania. Like, what happens after? If Gunther really does win, then now you've got to set up an Intercontinental title tournament, right? Because who are you going to elevate at that point? And Anthony said Jey Uso is not maybe Breaker comes up and gets involved.
Yeah,
maybe
you just read my mind there, because I was just thinking of this spot in the Rumble where Breaker sort of manhandled Gunther. I was like, I might want to see that happen in a match. So, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to find a clear path of what's going to happen with all these injuries. You don't know who you want to elevate. You don't know where, you know, how things are going to shift. So, Encyclopedia, you got any thoughts on this?
I don't want to see Bron Breakker immediately getting the Intercontinental title. That's for sure. I'm sick of, and this is not just a WWE problem. It's a top company problem. I'm sick of them bringing people in and pushing them to the moon almost immediately. It's got to be a fight. You know, it's got to take time to become a contender. And instead, they're rushing them left and right. Like, on the AEW side, look, I love Deonna Purrazzo as a person. Like, I follow her on Instagram. I'm a fan in that respect. I'm not sure about her wrestling style getting over, but what is she, won 2 or 3 matches? And we're going to probably dive into this a little bit more. AEW brought the rankings back. She's number one. And I'm like, but who did she beat? Taya Valkyrie?
Who hasn't beat anybody.
And for all the hype I've been, you know, even Taya Valkyrie when she was playing Frankie Monet in NXT, I was excited to see her. And then when I'm watching her in the ring, I'm like, her stuff doesn't look stiff at all. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like it hurts. It looks a little too soft, like she's afraid she's going to hurt people.
She doesn't make you stiff?
No. I don't know. I feel like she married up and Johnny TV married down. But anyway, but yeah, I Braun Breaker and a Continental Champion. I'm not interested. Going back to Freddie's original about Seth Rollins and who could be his challenger. I agree that they got a problem. I think the money is in doing Cody and Roman. I don't give a fuck what The Rock wants at this point.
I don't either. I think that's horrible idea.
I mean,
it's substituting a part-time guy for another part-time guy.
Right. And now he's got to be careful of the optics. He's got to be careful of the optics now, because on top of it, he's on the board now. So if he comes back and wrestles and puts himself in the main event, people are going to be like, oh, he put himself on the board. Now he's throwing his weight around immediately. You know, he's got to worry about that a little bit. I don't have a problem with Rock and Roman. I just don't want to see it at the expense of Cody. And we've all been saying this for months. But Seth Rollins, who's his challenger? I've heard rumblings, oh, maybe it'll be Drew McIntyre. We've seen that fucking match already. Yeah, I think they got a problem because they pushed some new challengers up almost immediately from when he won the title. Now CM Punk's injured, and I'm not totally convinced. I mean, this could still be a storyline. You know what I mean? Maybe he didn't really tear the tricep and they just got very good at coming up with storylines. I mean, AEW surprised us with some storylines. We thought somebody was injured or what have you, and all of a sudden, turns out they're not that bad.
Drew stomping on that tricep made me think for a second.
Right.
That could be a storyline.
Yeah.
I still think he's injured, but I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah, and it was the other arm this time, just to clarify. But yeah, I don't know who the challenger is. I don't want it to be Gunther because I feel like he needs to drop the belt to give somebody else the rub. We've seen Drew McIntyre already. And I don't want to see Cody just get switched over so that they could insert The Rock in. Because what does Cody get out of that? He's beaten Seth 3 times. If anything, Cody should come out and be like, I thought about what you said, but I've beaten you 3 times.
Yeah.
I need to get over the mountain that I couldn't, that I toppled down.
Or I'm going to fix the Universal title. I agree. You're right. Roma doesn't defend it. I'm going to change that. I'm going to be a champion that people can be proud of. And that's how I finish my story, is beat the one guy who I haven't beat yet. Right? I mean, I don't want to see another Rollins match. I don't care. I agree with you 100%. I could care less about that. To me, that feud is over.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Punk fan. The only benefit of him getting injured is now I'm not so interested in buying 2-night tickets to WrestleMania. I just want I'm like, all right, maybe I'd be okay with the 1 night after all. Anyway. Freddie, we didn't hear from you. So who's your challenger? Or you were just hoping we would throw somebody out and you would just agree?
That's how he does his picks. No. I mean, why wouldn't he do it this too?
Wow. You know what? Damn. You guys are treating me like I'm a dirt sheet writer. All right? And I don't appreciate it. You guys are throwing all the shade. I'm going to block him on Twitter. Fuck that guy. And that's what I'm going to do. You know what?
Fuck. Who are you referring to? I don't understand.
That's all right. We'll replace you. We'll replace you with a new co-host. His name's Tommy Dreamer. Then we will be big enough for him.
Fuck that guy. You're going to need 8 screens just to fit him on.
Okay. I need a wide lens.
Right. Bitch ass Tommy Dreamer. I'll go Drew. I think that's the logical choice in this one, as much as it sucks, but I think that's the way they'll turn it. And they'll give Drew his WrestleMania moment that he didn't get in 2020? But where do we jump from here?
I mean, the one thing I'll say about Drew winning is when Punk comes back, there's your feud, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could put a little logic behind that if you're booking further ahead, right? Let's let Drew win. Seth goes out and gets surgery and Punk takes up Drew's time until Seth is back, and then you can have a rematch. But to make Anthony's point, we've already seen this. several times.
That sets up the rest of the year if you do that.
I mean, I could see Drew winning fast, too. Don't you see this match starting and Drew just kicking him and the match ending because they just don't want Rollins to get hurt anymore? I mean, I honestly could see that match being a blowout.
You know, do that.
Just to get, have Rollins show up in the ring. Go ahead. Let him get, you know, pinned right away and let him get out and get his, you know, his knee fixed. And then when he's ready to return, you know, by that time Punk will be back and then you can have some natural matchup. But I don't know. It's really hard to figure out with all this. And then, like I said, we still haven't figured out where Damian Priest fits in all this. You know, are they going to pull the trigger on him and make him champion, or are they going to have him cash in and lose? Because they really haven't done anything with that, right? There was that little tension between him and Finn Balor, and that's not there anymore. So if he does cash in and lose, it's going to be because they want him to lose, not because of anybody else.
I mean, you could have him cash in right after Drew wins it, and then that just boils over. That holds you over until SummerSlam when Punk comes back. And then, you know, you can have those two guys feud. And then Survivor Series, Rollins should be back by then if his surgery is not too bad.
I don't know. I'm not loving some of these matchups, but we'll give them a chance because they seem to do build really well. They seem to build their matches really well. It's just they got to quickly pivot, right? Because WrestleMania is like 100 days away or something like that.
100 days away? What is it, Christmas Day?
I don't know. I don't know how many exact days it is. I was speculating.
Devil don't do math.
Devil don't need to do math.
It's not his strong suit.
Except when he's counting all the bitches he's been with. Then he does the math.
Oh, my. All right.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Okay. All pre-marriage, of course.
Right. Long time ago.
Yes, exactly. Wink. No.
Right.
That was Anthony winking, not me. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the post Royal Rumble press conference.
Yeah, we've alluded to it a couple times, so. Yeah.
So who put that out? Was that you, Encyclopedia? So why don't you give us a little background?
So Triple H was asked three times about the lawsuit against Vince McMahon, and people have really ripped apart the way he handled it. I'd say go back and watch the press conference, but it was to summarize, he was trying to focus on the positive, and he also acknowledged that at that point he hadn't read the lawsuit. And the internet wrestling community seem to be up in an uproar about it. So I want to start with Rob because I got a feeling he's got a strong opinion on this.
I honestly don't. I mean, I think it was handled poorly. I don't understand. I mean, on one hand, I know Triple H is head of talent, right? So it's really not his area of expertise to speak. But on the other hand, how is he not coached? Did they not think this was going to come up? I mean, they asked Cody Rhodes. They asked the wrestlers. Why wasn't there a blanket statement thrown out to all of them that says, hey, look, if they ask you about it, here's the generic statement we want you to say. Right? You don't turn around and go, I want to focus on the positive. That would be like if the head of GM, like they found out that like their engines blow up and it killed 1,000 people. And they go, well, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on this car over here. Right. Cause this car performed really well. You can't do that, especially when you're in a position of power. And I can't imagine there's not one person on that staff that couldn't have coached him through some type of answer. He's usually way better at answering questions like that. And I don't know how you wouldn't expect questions like that. And I wouldn't know how you wouldn't know how to answer those. So to me, it was an epic fail because it seems like it's a simple thing to take care of. So the Reverend was over there thumping his Bible and praying. So I'm going to let him go next.
Yes. I'm in agreement that I would have liked to have heard more from Triple H on this. I do know that there was at least some rumor going around that that's that Friday leading up to the Rumble that there were instructions given to most of WWE to not talk about what was going on and to focus squarely on the Rumble. But you made a comment, you know, if you ask the head of DM about the cars burning up, and that's a fair thing, except Triple H isn't the head of WWE. He's the head of creative. And he's not, and that means he is now beholden to another group of people, because the person in question sold the company and did so in a way that that same company let him come back to their board of directors after the first time he had retired. And I'm doing air quotes for this. This is an audio format, and I just remembered that.
He shit on somebody then, too?
Well, I mean, it's all alluding to when he said, stockholders. I mean, he's probably shit on a lot of people. But
the stockholders.
So,
right.
But Anthony? Then, let's take a look.
I'm going to be honest. The stock didn't really crash that hard at all.
No, of course not. Because all that other stuff happened earlier in the week to kind of offset that.
Because we want to focus on the positives. I don't want to talk about the negative stuff. We had a great week.
Well, no, not that. But I mean, yeah, was it a kind of just a wimpy-ass answer? Yes. But let's look at the people in charge for a second. TKO owns WWE and what other big company? What other big property do they own?
UFC, right?
Well, the guy in charge of UFC was caught on tape slapping the shit out of his wife, and they did nothing. So why would we expect them to have handed down instructions on how to handle this when their response on that was nothing?
Well, also,
what were we looking for?
To be fair on that one, Dana White stood in the fire on that one.
They did nothing.
He took shit, you know, like he took the media outcry.
Because it was him.
Vince didn't have to
say it. Because it was him. Yes, because it was him. Mm-hmm. But they didn't ask somebody working for Dana White to answer all those questions. They didn't ask people on the next few levels.
Let me just
he could have done it better, I'm like, why are we looking to the wrong people?
I completely disagree, because my company was just bought.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we were all given guidelines on what we should say to our clients. And I'm not trying to compare myself.
Purchase, right?
I'm not trying to compare myself to, you know, the WWE and all that. I'm not trying to say any of that. And I'm not trying to say that it's on the same level. It's just my point is, when things happen, you're supposed to be given, like, you toe the company line and you're given a speech to say. And if you can't do that, then you should just say no comment. But the stupidest thing you could possibly do is say,
no comment would have been better.
Let's focus on the Royal Rumble. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. To be fair, I feel like we're all kind of distilling his comments down a little too much. And this isn't so much to up Triple H's thing, because like I said, I think he could have handled it a lot better. But again, like you said, the company handed down instructions. Who's in charge? We're just talking WWE. Well, then why isn't Nick Khan answering these questions?
He wasn't in the press conference.
Right. But if anybody should have handed that down, who should it have been? Nick Khan. Nick Khan is the person who should have made the statement publicly. If anybody, even before a press conference, before the Rumble ever happened, that's the person you would have been looking to make that comment. Not the people working under him, because he's the one in charge of WWE. But like I said, we've established that TKO isn't going to set any precedent there. We've established that they're not going to handle that. So there's no message coming down from the top. And anybody who was surprised by that, I don't know what to tell you.
Freddie, what do you think?
I'm going to take it from the other side.
Pause. Usually do.
Pause. I'll pause that statement.
Oh, God. We just lost the gay audience.
Or maybe gained more. I don't know.
What are you talking about? I don't understand. I just said, never mind. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I think he did the best in the situation he was given. He's not the focal point. He's not head of, you know, the board. He's not chairman of the board. Like, that's not his spot. So personally, I thought he did the right thing. He gave you the least amount of information that he could. He chose to move along with the press conference and focus on what was at hand that night. If there was other stuff that they wanted to talk about, I get it. They can hold a press conference for that, or they could do the, you know, those conference calls that they do, and you can have the boards of directors and The Rock and Nick Khan and whoever the fuck else is sitting on that board. Yeah, that's where I sit on it. I thought he did the best he could do with a bag of shit.
Do you believe that his comment about him learning about this in real time with everybody else?
Fuck no. He knew that shit a while ago.
That's exactly what the problem is people knew he wasn't being genuine.
Right.
And all he should have just said is, I don't have any comment at this time. You know, I'm going to let things play out.
But when you
try to go, hey, look over here.
I don't want to talk about it. I'll play devil's advocate to you, bro.
No, you can't.
If he says that, they crucify him on the internet.
So are you trying to say that he couldn't have won no matter what? Is that what you're basically saying? Is he, no matter what he would have said, he would have been crucified?
Yep. 100%.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between like being tied to a cross and being nailed to a cross, in my opinion. And he nailed himself to the cross. And I was there, so I know.
Encyclopedia, what do you think?
I get what he was trying to do by spinning the positive. I don't think that was necessarily the right statement. I think the shortcoming was with WWE and TKO specifically. There should have been a press conference before the Royal Rumble to discuss that. That lawsuit was announced on Thursday. They didn't do that. I agree with Jason's statement that Nick Khan should have been the one heading that up, or Ari Emanuel from Endeavor, or somebody else. People also need to remember Triple H is the chief content officer. He's not a CEO. He doesn't sit on the board. He's got a specific job to run creative. That's it. So anything he said really wasn't going to have value. He's not high enough up the food chain. He was asked because he's become a figurehead because he runs the press conferences, but he doesn't have a high enough position that he should have really been asked those questions to begin with. And I was getting annoyed at some of the comments and the Twitter's tweets and all this shit that everybody was judging him. As far as him saying he hadn't read the lawsuit, that lawsuit came out on Thursday evening, right? At that point, he was already in Miami getting ready for the Royal Rumble and SmackDown. He was doing 2 days of creative. He was doing his job. How much time did he really have had to go read the lawsuit?
He had that shit on his table Monday morning. Start a news cycle.
The press leaked it out. I don't think they had officially even been subpoenaed yet.
I think, Anthony, you're right. But in the court of public opinion, when you're representing the WWE and you have a microphone in front of your face, you got to give the right answer. And the right answer might have been, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not involved. You know what I mean? You want to, you know, let's talk to somebody else. Let's talk to creative, or, you know, I would have passed the buck along to somebody else. I think the feedback would have been bad, but not as bad. I think his answer was just wrong. I think he should have been like, you know, I'm going to direct you to, you know, this person, or, you know, it's not really for me to say. I mean, yeah, he would have got a little shit for it, but they would have walked away from it.
Yeah. And it should be said that it's good that the questions were asked, because the questions merited being asked. But for those listening right now who might not understand what just happened here, Freddie had to check his equipment for a moment.
I thought I had technical difficulties.
Yeah, for much the same reason I did. I was checking mine, and I believe the encyclopedia was checking his headphones as well, because right. I think if we run that tape back,
if we run it back,
would hear the devil's advocate say, you're right?
You're right?
He's right often. He's wrong more often than not, but he's right. When he's right, he's right.
He's right. And he's right.
He's right. I can't argue with that.
So, Jason and Freddie, I want to give you both credit. You, great job with your audition to do play-by-play today, giving people the visual of what they're not actually seeing. You guys can be radio broadcasters. You could replace John Sterling and Susan Waldman on the Yankee broadcasts.
Mom and Pop? You want to get rid of Mom and Pop?
No, I don't want to. Actually, Mom, I would. Pop, I could still deal with, but I want to hear.
I need puns.
Do the John Sterling call right now.
It is high. It is far. No. It is out of here. What? Which call?
All right. This is very New York centric right now.
Yeah. I'm sure most of our listeners are probably from the New York area anyway, and are friends of ours. But anyway.
They're Mets fans, though.
All right. So while we're on the,
then Rob doesn't want you.
We're on the topic. Has anybody heard about the Shawn Michaels allegations?
I saw that on the list.
Okay.
I read up on it a little.
So what I was looking around for, you know, content for the show, and I ran across this article that Brutus Beefcake basically came out and said that, and Anthony, you read it too, so if I'm misquoting, please jump in. He was saying that back in the day that Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty used to drug girls, use them for sex, and throw them out in the hallway when they were done. And from what I had read, that he said that, and then he immediately like took it back. But then he repeated it again. So they ran to Shawn Michaels, and they said to him, you know, what's this all about? And Shawn Michaels basically said, I don't think his answer was so great either, but Shawn Michaels basically said he can get as many women as he wanted. He didn't need to do stuff like that. And he wouldn't do stuff like that.
Factual.
And I was like, I don't know if I would have let off with the get as many girls as I wanted kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was the best visual for that.
It's a very HBK answer.
Right. Well, past, you know, he's supposed to be a man of God now. So like that really to me was kind of an answer the old Shawn Michaels might have given. So I'm trying to find the quotes here. Let me see. I found it.
Is Brutus Beefcake?
I'll say this. I've never shied away from stupid stuff I did in the past. You go back and ask Brutus Beefcake. He'll tell you, one, never seen any of this actual happen. Again, wrestling stories. He's also retracted that after saying it. I can say this. I've had a lot of struggles in my life, and I don't know how to say this without sounding shameful, but being with a lady was not something Shawn Michaels had a difficult time doing. I've never been in a situation where it's not consensual in any way, shape, or form, and never taken advantage of one in that respect.
That's not a terrible answer. I was expecting something worse, I'll be honest. I might have paraphrased
it a little bit too much, because he did throw in the point, you know, the risk of sounding shameful.
The C word, all important C word, which, you know, for nothing else but legal and moral reasons, you need to use when talking about your past sexual relationships. So, consensual.
So
very important to state that.
To you guys is, number one, do you believe Shawn Michaels? And number two, why would Brutus Beefcake make this story up? Like, what is to be gained? Where did this come from? Why would he do something like that? So, Freddie, what do you think? What's going on with this story?
I think it's Brutus Beefcake getting notoriety, trying to get his name out there, trying to make up stories and shit. Like, really, Brutus Beefcake is the source we're going to here. Like, at that point, fuck it. Let Marty Jannetty do it. And let him tell us about all the shit he did and the 13-year-olds he was going after and his stepdaughter's kid. And come on, man. Like, if Beefcake is your source, in the words of the immortal Randy Jackson from American Idol, it's a nah for me, dog.
Okay, that's the second time you said that in the last month. Is this becoming a drinking game?
Drinking game?
Drinking game.
I mean,
yes, every time Freddy says that line. Every time he says that line, take a shot.
We could do it.
I don't mind. Don't mind if I do.
So as far as Brutus Beefcake even bringing it up, the guy's been an attention whore his whole life and basically has leached off the success of others. Hulk Hogan? Right? What point was there to bring this up now, especially when the man that is Shawn Michaels supposedly has cleaned his life up, found God, and what have you? You know, it's inexcusable, but it was done if that was the case. But at this point, if the victims wanted to come forward, that's one thing. For Brutus Beefcake to be doing that, it's a cry for attention, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, and that's all I got to say about that. On the other hand, speaking of victims, John Laurinaitis, Big Johnny, People Power, he's claiming to be a victim in this whole Vince McMahon lawsuit and what he did to this young lady. To me, he's got no defense at this point, and this is all he could come up with to save his ass. Secondly, and this has been the most shocking thing, and this isn't the first time he's been accused of basically passing a woman around with Vince. How the fuck is Kathy Colas still married to this guy? And how are the Bellas, who nitpick and bitch about everything else WWE does, like they even commented about the lawsuit against Vince? Well, your father-in-law was named. No comment? Double standard? I lost a lot of respect for the Garcia twins on this one. But anyway, victim? Really? What, did Vince say you must stick it in her? I mean, what the fuck? Does anyone else think this is ridiculous?
Do it!
Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah, grab them titties.
Oh, God, no. I didn't need that. Oh.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
I want you to squat and shit into her mouth.
I'm only laughing because it's horrible. I can't cope.
I've been listening to Bruce Pritchard imitate Vince too much, apparently. But I just... Does anyone else think this is ridiculous? Or is this just a case of a man he has no case. It's a lawyer thing. This is Hail Mary.
It's a lawyer doing what a lawyer is supposed to do. Really? That's what it boils down to. That's who made the statement. And that's who's going to go and try to... It's not the most ridiculous thing I've heard come out of a defense attorney's mouth before. And it's not the most ridiculous thing we'll ever hear come out of a defense attorney's
mouth. Yes, but the client has to agree to that.
The client just stands back and lets him. The client might say something behind the scenes and say, well, that didn't help, did it? But the lawyer is the one who's really making that call. Like, hey, I'm going to get up and talk. Hey, my client is just as much a victim as anybody. Come on. That ain't the first time we've heard that kind of thing. It's still ridiculous, but it's not the first time.
If it does not fit, you must acquit.
Well, it worked for him. I don't know if this one will work for Big John.
Yeah. Good luck.
Does any of you do an impersonation of him? I don't know how, so.
People power. I gave her the power.
That's pretty good. I'll be honest, I didn't expect it to be that good.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's lawyer talk 101, man. Like, they find the biggest mea culpa in the room, and everybody turns on him.
I can't wait till discovery hits for this case. I can't wait.
Rob?
Yes.
Thoughts?
I don't know. I don't believe anything that comes out of Laurinaitis' mouth. So I'm sure he was in on it. I have no doubt.
Better hire Matlock or something.
Matlock. Is Perry Mason available?
Where's Columbo?
Columbo's not a lawyer.
But he'd get to the bottom of it.
Right. Get Olivia Benson in on this?
Iced tea.
That's for you, man.
That's it.
That'll be an episode, right, next year.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, totally. Oh.
Yeah.
That's probably why they brought the show back.
They knew. There you go. The Vince McMahon season.
Yeah, we got six episodes already.
Straight from the headlines, as they say.
That's probably how they brought back Dark Side of the Ring. They knew this was coming.
Yeah, they couldn't stop, right?
It's the matter. I heard the Netflix episode is still, or the Netflix series is still on. And they're going to dive into a lot of this stuff. So that'll be interesting.
Definitely.
So I wonder if Vince gets, if this really goes the distance and he gets put in jail or something, does that scrub his, like, do they pull a Benoit and do they just scrub him out?
They already have on the website.
Yeah. No, I mean like matches and like, I mean, like, scrub him like they did Benoit, like, not even exist.
It's possible.
Really?
Or do you think they just keep it in context?
I think you put a disclaimer every episode.
I think they should have done that with Benoit, but, yeah, it's a double standard now if they don't.
I mean, because the whole Ruthless Aggression era is basically him confessing to his crimes, isn't it?
How about Austin versus McMahon in general? You'd have to really any McMahon reference, you know?
You'd lose Austin at that point.
That's true.
A major part of his career was him and McMahon.
So maybe what you do is and there's a lot of work to do. Any episode, any footage where Vince is going to appear, you could say, please keep in mind this footage represents a time period where Vince McMahon was playing a character. We don't agree with the actions in light of the recent allegations about Vince McMahon and anything he's done behind the scenes, you know, something like that to cover themselves.
Yeah. Let me just tighten that up a little bit. Please note, we didn't know he was doing this shit. WWE. That's it.
Something tells me we're not going to see Trish crawling around on the ring like a dog anymore.
Fair. We plead the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Fifth.
The number after four is fifth. That's going to be Vince McMahon, man.
This show's going off the rails real quick.
Off the rails, down the ravine, into the lake.
Yeah, we're flowing.
You're going to probably hear a lot of stories coming out over this next like 6 months, though, from any of the former female competitors and possibly from some of the male competitors who are like, yeah, fuck it, I'm talking now.
Where's Nails when we need him?
Brock Lesnar?
No, you don't listen to Nails?
I'm sorry. I'm not gonna fuck up my voice for 3 days just to do a nail imitation.
I didn't ask you to, but Freddie, you don't know the nail story?
No, I've heard the nail story. I'm just saying, Brock Lesnar was nailing people too, so I just figured.
Okay. Brock Lesnar is going to be real quiet until that trial's over.
Brock Lesnar is disappearing in the mountains right now.
He's off hunting deer somewhere.
Yeah, you don't get two shits.
Sable has no idea about the accusations because he lives on that, like, it's like a compound with no internet, no TV, no nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? They have no idea. They just texted Brock, I think we're going to hold off on this. Why? Yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't turn on the TV. I don't have one. Okay.
No, cool. I think they called him and said, go outside and cut your electric.
Right. Yeah.
He turned off Sable's Wi-Fi.
He ran outside and pulled the cable out of the ground.
Oh, man. All right, so NXT Vengeance. Vengeance Day? Is it Vengeance Day?
Vengeance Day, sorry.
All right, so let's jump into these picks.
I had no idea there was even a Vengeance Day pay-per-view, so.
I knew it was coming, I just didn't realize it was this weekend until I was watching NXT this week.
All right, so we've got The Family versus OTM. The Family? Is it safe to say Family across the board?
No.
No? Not in this one?
The titles aren't on the line. I think OTM wins. They introduced Jada Parker as a new character. Adriana Rizzo has been around for a little. I'm sorry. Adriana Rizzo! She's got like the stat. She's got like the. Remember when Carmella was doing the bad Staten Island princess accent? This girl must be genuine, 100% Italian. She's freaking nailing the accent. But anyway, from watching the show, I could see why you might think The Family, but I feel like OTM needs to win more, and the titles aren't on the line. So what does Family get by losing the match? You know. Plus, they're put Jada Parker as this new character. So I'm going to go with OTM as much as I'm not a fan of theirs.
I'm going to side with the encyclopedia on that one.
You weren't, too, since I don't watch the show, I have no idea who OTM is. So let's go with that.
So a few seconds ago, it looked like you guys were all going with The Family, and right. I somehow convinced you.
I didn't realize it was a non-title.
It's a six person.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So
I want to know why Freddie's flipping us the bird right now.
Because I thought we were all on the same page.
I can't see you guys, so...
All right, so you're sticking with The Family?
We were. Yeah, I'm sticking with The Family.
All right, that's fine.
All right, stick with
The Family. I didn't know that warranted the middle finger, though, bro. Jeez.
Anger loyalty is important to The Family, so, you know, yeah, man. Good for you.
We stick with it.
Hey, look, if I was booking, I'd have The Family win. I love those guys, but...
No, anyway. Don't walk it back now.
I'm not changing my pick.
Yeah, because if you walk it back, I got to walk it back.
As Stevie G said years ago, like he started picking based on what he wanted to see after he lost the title. But, you know, Freddie, you're not picking the Buffalo Bills necessarily every week to win if you think they're legitimately going to lose. That would hurt your stats. Yeah. Why would you do that? You know, I'm picking OTM.
You're right. You know what?
Rob's got enough ground. If I pick opposite him, I'm going to keep losing ground.
I'm not going to tell you you're right.
What does OTM stand for?
Like the Devil's Advocate did earlier tonight.
I'm going to be honest with you. If they might have revealed that in a vignette, I didn't give a damn. I probably left the room, popped some popcorn, grabbed a beer. I have no idea what it means. Don't care either. They're basically guys off the streets. And Scripps is everyone's favorite acrobat, Reggie.
All right.
Oh, so that's where he landed, huh?
Yep. And then another match that nobody probably gives a shit about. No disqualification, Dijak versus Joe Gacy.
I don't give a shit about that match, but I kind of enjoyed this Joe Gacy more than what he was doing before. I kind of enjoyed this, getting the crap beat out of him, but still very many screws loose in his head. I kind of enjoyed it.
I don't know. I think the previous character was a little, at least more interesting, but it had a shelf life. I don't know. I think this version of him is going to have an even shorter shelf life. But anyway, I'm going to go Dijak here, honestly. I could see maybe they'd want Joe Gacy to win and show him as the underdog, but at the other side of the coin is he could take the worst beating in the world, lose the match, and then get up and smile, kind of like the other night. He got thrown in the dumpster.
Yep.
And Dijak was getting yelled at by Ava, and Joe Gacy just peeked his head out of the dumpster, basically agreed to a match.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Gacy.
It's like a weird Mankind thing.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, like a Cactus Jack type scenario.
All right, so Freddie's going Gacy, Devil Advocate.
I don't have a coin to flip, so Dijak. I don't know.
Okay. I got to say, Dominic, when he was Dijakovic, I think he was more interesting than this Dijak shit. But anyway, go ahead, Reverend.
Yeah, he was more interesting back then, too. Oh. I'm going to go with Gacy stealing a win.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Here's another one out of nowhere. So for those of you that don't watch NXT, Obafemi held the breakout tournament contract, which is basically NXT's version of Money in the Bank, and cashed in on Dragon Lee about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So Dragon Lee's getting his rematch in another who gives a fuck match.
I had no idea Dragon Lee even lost the title.
I rushed my kids.
Femi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what an Obafemi is.
It sounds like big ass African brother.
Somebody
literally, that's his gimmick. He is a big ass African brother.
Is that how they introduce him?
I would. I almost can't believe Booker T doesn't.
Oh God.
That's a big man.
I think Rob's waiting for me to make a pick. I'm gonna probably go Femi because I just don't.
I'm gonna go him too. I don't care. So I should just let you make my picks.
Do you care about any of these matches, Rob?
No, I don't watch NXT.
I watch NXT, and I even thought maybe we should just stop doing NXT picks.
I've been saying that all along because I don't think you might be the only one that watches it on a regular basis.
Jason does.
Freddie, sometimes. Do you watch NXT?
Not on a regular basis. I catch it regularly.
But you know, results. We spend a ton of time talking about AEW. I've rarely watched Collision. I never watch Rampage. I could barely get through Dynamite. I did this week, but
at least you watch Dynamite, though.
All right, but I don't watch. But if I don't watch Collision or Rampage, that's half the.
You're not missing all
that.
Nobody watches Rampage. You're not missing anything.
Right, but Collision has development storyline. Well, I guess they don't have storylines. But
all right, let's keep moving on here.
All right, so in the first of his double duty for the night, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Nobody start doing a Booker T imitation. Jason, sit down. I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that either. And they're in the finals against the Wolf Dogs, Baron Corbin, and Bron Breakker.
The Wolf Dogs.
They came up with this name.
Holy shit! What a
Bron came up with the
name. Bron came up with it. Baron said it sucked, and then the next week they were interviewing Corbin, and he called themselves the Wolf Dogs. And Bron's like, "Wait a second! I thought you said that was terrible."
And yeah, it was a funny little moment.
It was. Yeah. It was.
And the Trick Mello Gang.
That's what it was on Wikipedia. Look, I copied and pasted. I had two minutes to get this.
It's almost as bad as the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Don't get me started on that shit. Anyway.
What is Trick Mello Game? Is my hearing going?
I'm going to go the Wolf Dogs.
Freddie's moving this along. I don't care.
I think Trick wins later on in the night, and they'll give him the loss here, and that'll cause, you know, the dissension with him and Mello.
So you think he's going to beat Ilya?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're
it's a hot thing right now.
Okay,
I like that pick.
I'm gonna go opposite you, actually. I think Ilya is gonna retain, and I think it's gonna lead to a rematch with Trick, where Trick finally gets the belt at WrestleMania weekend. And I think it's gonna be basically because Trick is having him pull double duty. But I think they win this one because. I mean, Carmelo's pretty much on SmackDown anyway, but I think there's still something there that they could run with him a little bit longer on NXT, where I think Breakker's time's done. They pushed him to the moon. They've given him this heel run. What does he have left?
Well, isn't that the problem with this match is Breakker and Hayes really are not on this show anymore?
Yeah.
No, they've been on every week.
Breakers, yeah.
They've been on every week. Carmelo's been pulling double duty.
Got it.
They've been hinting at possible dissension between Carmelo and Trick. That Carmelo Ilya's tried to convince Trick that Carmelo's jealous of him, and Carmelo's like, "I'm trying to look out for your well-being and your own good," and Ilya's basically playing mind games with you, and you're falling right into the trap.
Well, wouldn't that be a better Mania match?
What,
Mello versus Trick?
I guess they could do that, but I just don't. I don't see Trick winning both matches. Let's put it that way. And I think Trick couldn't beat Ilya previously when he had no other matches in the night. You're going to tell me when he has two matches in the night, he's going to beat while Ilya's fresh? The guy takes an ass kicking and retains the title left and right. He's going to take an ass kicking from a guy that already had a match earlier in the show, unless they do that match first, and I don't think they're going to.
Yes.
I don't know. You might be right. Trick's hot, but I could see Trick getting moved up to the main roster too. I mean, when he did the run-in on SmackDown last week, I don't know if you guys saw it. They were chanting "Whoop that hey, Trick" when he was running hey, out. I was like,
the crowd was hot for him.
Where did that come from? Because usually the main roster fans have no fucking idea what's going on with NXT.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, Dusty Rhodes final. Reverend.
I think I'm inclined to lean towards towards Freddie's pick here, except I'm inclined to lean in that direction.
Okay. I can see it.
Rock. And it's only because I don't see them bringing Bron Breakker up yet. It's coming up soon, just not yet.
Well, and I guess Wolf Dogs challenging against the family would make sense, but anyway.
I'll go with the Wolf Dogs.
All right. No, I'm going to end up texting you guys on Sunday afternoon and be like, I'm changing my mind.
No, changing my pick.
He's going to text us when the match is over. Oh, I meant to pick the Wolf Dogs.
I forgot to click send.
I changed it in the group already. I changed it in the group already.
I just checked the version history. It says you changed it at 10:01. The show ended.
The pay-per-view is over. I want to change my picks.
It's over already. No, I'm watching the replay. I didn't see.
God, now I'm really second-guessing myself. Thanks, guys. Well done.
You believe in yourself.
You should know better than all of us. You watched the show.
Yeah, I could see the Wolf Dogs winning. I'm just thinking more long term. I mean, are you going to have? I tend
to think there's going to be some kind of miscommunication between Hayes and Williams, and that's why they're going to lose.
Okay,
But I could be totally wrong. I don't watch the show.
But
that would lend it to what you're saying about there's dissension between the two of them, right?
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just feel like you can't have Trick lose twice, and I don't see Trick beating Ilya. I just don't.
Well, I could see Carmelo coming back and causing Trick to lose.
Right.
And that would set up the feud that you guys are talking about. So I don't know. I'm just speculating here, like I said.
Yeah.
I actually see
I don't think it's Ilya's time to lose yet.
No, I don't either. Well, they had him out for like a month. For storyline, they said Ridge Holland injured him, and he only came back recently. So Anyway. Do you guys want to do NXT title next thing? Since we already got two of us on.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you going with?
Ilya.
Okay. I got a feeling Jason's going the other way, but I don't know.
I am, and it's because of that same reason. I feel like they're going to use the loss earlier for that tension and Melo. Either Melo or Ridge Holland is going to be the reason why Ilya loses.
Well, Ridge seems to be moving on to Gallus. So I'm just pointing that out to you.
Fair enough. There's still Melo. Because now it'll be, oh, you couldn't do it on your own. And so they can still play that tension if they want to. Yep. Or they can go with, no, I had your back the whole time. And now they're cool. And Melo can go ahead on to SmackDown. And deal with his issues. That gives them the option to go either way.
I don't think a title change is necessary here to have that match. I don't think that match needs the belt, where I think Ilya needs the belt. But anyway, all right. And then I really like Lyra Valkyria, and she's defending the NXT Women's Championship against kind of a new Roxanne Perez with a little bit of edge to her. I'm going to go with Lyra to retain, which is surprising because I usually pick Roxanne because I just feel like they love Roxanne and they try to keep her in the main event picture no matter where she is. She's almost like the Charlotte Flair of NXT, but it helps if I put it in the right box.
I'll go with Lyra as well.
Okay.
I think they'll save Roxanne for Mania weekend to give her the belt.
Oh, so you think they'll do a rematch then?
Yeah, they'll do a rematch or something. Roxanne will get the belt and get the Mania moment.
Okay. Let's go with the darkness and the evil. Devil advocate.
Yes, please.
Jason Lyra, and I were right there.
Lyra, I don't know.
You see me, Freddie.
Where's your play-by-play on that one, boys?
Well, you said We're going to go with the devil and the darkness.
Yeah, when I heard darkness, I was actually getting ready to take myself off mute. And then you said the devil. I was like, oh, okay. The evil, Rob. Okay,
cool. I thought we were going with the... With the Dave Chappelle, you were keeping it going.
You know, we said he was the Reverend. We never said he was the Reverend of the Light.
No.
There can be only one evil character on the show, and that's me.
I know one of the three of you knows exactly what I was thinking. Because he's laughing exactly as hard as I am.
I know what you were thinking. Can you make your pick? I'd like to go to bed sometime soon.
You're supposed to be making the pick.
I already did.
He did. He said Lara.
Oh. Yeah,
You're so busy having a bromance with Freddie over here.
Yeah, do you two need to be alone?
I'm going with Lyra.
Okay. All right. So next week, we'll be back. And we could start diving into the AEW rankings that just got released last night. But I want to thank all of you who've been listening for well over an hour at this point. So we're going to save that topic for next week.
Yeah. The Sports Frenzy Pod on Twitter. The Sports Frenzy Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. We thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.